So we continue in a series in which we're talking about narcissistic personality disorder, narcissistic behavior, and the dynamics of complex relationships. Thank you for listening to CocoaPods podcast. This is your host, Dr. Bola Sogade. I'm a women's health specialist. So what is the God complex within the context of narcissism? First of all, very simply put, the God complex in narcissism means someone believes they are like a God, all-powerful, perfect, and above everyone else. They feel entitled to special treatment, and they think they can control others however they want. This makes them insensitive to others' feelings and can damage relationships because they act like they're better than everyone else. They're always chasing success or attention to feel safe, which stops them from growing as a person. And when further explained, the God complex in the context of narcissism refers to an extreme manifestation of grandiosity and superiority, where an individual believes they are omnipotent, infallible, and beyond reproach. This term draws parallel to the idea of a deity or God, suggesting that the person with the narcissistic tendencies sees themselves as being on a level above mere mortals, with the power to control and manipulate others as they see fit. Individuals with a God complex may exhibit a profound sense of entitlement, believing they are entitled to special treatment and unquestioning obedience from others. They may also display a lack of empathy, viewing others as mere pawns or objects to be used for their own benefit. This complex can lead to destructive behaviors and interpersonal difficulties, as the individual's inflated sense of self-importance often alienates those around them. So the God complex represents an extreme form of superiority where the individual views themselves as all-powerful and above the rules that govern ordinary people. This inflated self-view can lead to manipulative behavior and a desire for control over others. The other is that they're always worried about protecting themselves from getting hurt. They might chase things like success or attention to feel safe. This stops them from growing as a person. Being the sole provider in a household can potentially contribute to the propagation of narcissistic behavior in a man through several mechanisms. One of the mechanisms is through power and control dynamics. So the role of the sole provider may imbue the man with a sense of power and control over the household's finances and decisions. This dominance can reinforce feelings of superiority and entitlement. These are already common traits in narcissism. Number two, validation and identity. Providing for the family may become closely tied to the man's sense of self-worth and identity. If he perceives his value solely through his role as a breadwinner, it can lead to an inflated sense of self-importance and a need for constant validation and admiration. Number three, dependency dynamics. Dependence on him for financial support can create a dynamic where others in the household are reliant on him, potentially fostering a belief that his needs and desires should take precedence over others. Number four, a lack of accountability. As the sole provider, the man may face less scrutiny or challenge to his behavior within the household, allowing narcissistic tendencies to go unchecked and potentially escalate. And then there's isolation from feedback. With the primary responsibility for financial support, the man may become isolated from feedback or perspectives that could challenge his narcissistic behaviors, leading to a reinforcement of these traits over time. And then lastly, emotional distancing. Focusing solely on providing financially may lead to emotional detachment from other aspects of family life, further exacerbating narcissistic tendencies as empathy and emotional connection diminish. So it's important to note that not all men who are sole providers in their households will develop narcissistic behaviors. However, the dynamics and pressures associated with the role can contribute to the amplification or reinforcement of pre-existing narcissistic traits in some individuals. In our upcoming episode, we're going to talk about a real-life couple anonymized through name change, Lillian and Charles. They're going to give an account of difficulties they had in their relationship and how they have overcome the difficulties, hoping that somebody out there can learn from some of the strategies that they used to help their own struggling relationship at this point. So please listen first to Lillian, the wife, that's her pseudonym, and Charles, the husband, as they come up in the upcoming series. So we've been using this word, narcissistic, for the past several episodes. I want to talk about the myth of narcissus. Where did this word come from? What are some of the circumstances surrounding this word? So in the myth of narcissus, it talks about a story from Greek mythology that revolves around a handsome young man named Narcissus. The tale is primarily recounted in Ovid's Metamorphoses and other classical texts. According to the myth, Narcissus was known for his exceptional beauty, but he was also exceedingly proud and disdainful of those who loved him. One day, as he was wandering through the forest, he encountered the nymph Echo, who instantly fell in love with him. However, Narcissus rejected her advances, causing Echo to pine away until only her voice remained. The goddess Nemesis, observing Narcissus's arrogance and cruelty, decided to punish him. She led him to a pool of water where he caught sight of his own reflection. Narcissus was captivated by the image of his own beauty and fell deeply in love with it. Despite realizing that it was merely his own reflection, he couldn't tear himself away from the pool, becoming increasingly obsessed with his own image. Narcissus remained by the pool, pining away until he eventually died. In some versions of the myth, he either drowns in the pool while trying to embrace his reflection or wastes away from longing and despair, unable to leave the sight of himself. The myth of Narcissus has been interpreted in various ways throughout history, often serving as a cautionary tale about vanity, self-absorption, and the destructive nature of excessive self-love. It has also inspired numerous works of art, literature, and psychology, with the term narcissism being derived from Narcissus's name to describe excessive self-admiration or self-centeredness. In our upcoming episode, we talk more with Lillian and Charles and see how ego intertwines with all of this. Thank you for listening to CocoaPods podcast.